chanson. Écoutez et répétez.
Well, I love cubism. It's my favorite style. When I see a cubist painting, I just gotta smile. But there's one painter I'm his biggest fan. He's the father of cubism. His name says...
Good morning, good morning. Well, bearing witness through the lens of art and life is my guest this morning, a handsome black woman who, when I first interviewed her years ago, said, I keep looking for myself. Do you remember that?
I do.
That was your first...
The first show at IFCC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And welcome, Damali Ayo.
Thanks, Julie.
And everybody's pronounced your name wrong, starting from early in the morning and going right along until we here we are, and it is Damali Ayo.
Yep,
right.
That's perfect.
And it just flows beautifully off the tongue.
I think so. I don't know why everybody has so much trouble with it.
Well, you know, it's just a little bit different from Jane Brown.
Yeah.
Okay. And anyway, you... received your Bachelor of Arts from the Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, with special studies in American civilization, public policy, and American institutions,
mm-hmm.
right? And you were born in Washington, D.C.?
I sure was.
And do you remember Washington, D.C.?
Oh, yeah. I lived there until I was 18. I went to school there.
And did you like school? Did you get along in school?
I loved school. I liked school because it got me out of the house.
Ah. Okay.
And I liked learning. And I don't know that I was so much of a social kid, but I liked classes, actually. I liked that a lot. And then as I became a teenager, I liked the social aspect a lot. And I was a... my friend told me I wasn't a geek, but I definitely was an overachiever and the head of whatever I could be the head of, you know.
You were very active.
Yeah.
I can see you. Yes.
The head of Students Against Drunk Driving and the president of the chorus.
Uh-huh. A director person.
I guess, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, just in charge. Maybe I'm just a control queen. I don't know.
Were you always a little taller than everybody else? You're very tall and willowy.
Am I?
Yeah.
I like that willowy. That's
willowy.
Nice.
Willowy. Yes. Anyway, you're here this morning to discuss your controversial new book, which is called How to Rent a Negro.
Yes.
And this book is available at Lawrence Hill Books. Is that Obie? Obie Hill? No, it is not.
No, that's the publisher. It should be, it's at Powell's. I hear it's doing pretty well at Powell's here. And
yeah.
I don't know what other stores it's at. If it's not at the store, people should request it.
Certainly they should.
Stage a sit-in until they get my book.
Yes. Yeah, I think they should sit on the sidewalk outside or right. All over the place.
Sit on the cash register.
Yeah, because it is in demand. And I think, isn't it?
I'm hoping so, but I think some bookstores are a little nervous about the title.
I think they are. You know, I went to Powell's on Hawthorne.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
And finally they found it out in Beaverton. They said it'll take about 4 days, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I went to Powell's on Hawthorne, which is just 8 blocks from where I live, and it was buried in the back on a high shelf. I had to stretch up to get it. There were only 2 copies.
Is that right?
Yeah. So
what's
everybody's stage a sit-in at Pals on Hawthorne.
Well, I did sort of raise a small ruckus.
Good.
I said, what? I have to go. They said it was in Beaverton. I said, I have to go clear out there?
That's crazy.
No. Yeah.
And they're not going to read it in Beaverton.
They need this book in Beaverton, though. Come on.
They sure do. They've got to have this. Well, they do need it in Beaverton. Well, they should have it in all the good bookstores. And perhaps when we finish this program, there will be a great scurrying about to get this book on the shelves for sale.
Let's hope so.
It's an important little book.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, how did you decide that a book about how to rent a Negro was a useful idea for us all?
Well, I had the experiences of repeated interactions. Mm-hmm. And I decided I was sick of repeating them. So, for example, I could be 8 years old and in second grade, and the white second graders would run up to me and say, I went to the beach because I got so tan. And look, Damali, I'm darker than you. That's so neat. Look, look, hold out your arm.
Yeah.
And now I'm 33 and it still happens. And except for the people aren't 8 years old anymore. They're 28 and 38 and 48. And I thought, something's not right here.
Well, and then there's the hair thing, too.
Yeah. Oh, did you see my shirt? I made it. I have this new shirt that's on my website. It says, touch your own hair.
Oh, okay. Well, that fits right in with what my story I'm going to tell, because when I was young and a little kid growing up, I had long braids that I could almost sit on.
Ooh.
I had two long braids. And when I was about 8 years old, I used to have to take the streetcar down to Broadway and Washington and then take the bus to 18th Street or to 22nd, and the bus would stop and let me off. And I had these long braids, and perfect strangers would pull my braids and have a big smile on their face. So, aren't you cute, you know, and so forth. And so I found a post down there that I used to hide behind.
Oh.
But there's something about long hair.
Yeah, see, you had to hide. That's horrible.
Well, I used to because it worried me more than anything. That I got worried.
Yeah.
And I didn't want some stranger looking at me and saying I was cute and pulling my hair.
Yes, disturbing.
But now you do interesting things with your hair.
I don't do anything interesting with my hair. I have the most boring hairstyle in the world. I tie it back every morning, and my friends complain. My mother complains, can't you wear your hair some other way?
Really?
It's just because I have it in dreadlocks, you know, and apparently people are not very, I guess people don't have enough black people in their lives, and so they don't have experience with dreadlocks. They certainly can't turn on the television and see a woman washing her dreadlocks like we can see white women washing their hair in every Clairol Herbal Essences commercial, right? And so they just think it's the strangest thing. That's what they tell me. This is the strangest hair I've ever seen. How long does it take you to get that way? And it's just, it's outrageous.
It's so rude.
It's rude. And, you know, I shouldn't have to pay for their cultural deprivation. That's really their personal problem. In fact, you know, the other day, after I had given my talk at Powell's, I was coming out of my doctor's office because I had this virus. And I was feeding the meter at my car. And this woman came up to me and she said, can I ask you a question? And I thought maybe she had seen my reading at Powell's or something. You know, I felt naive at that moment. And she said, how did you get your hair like that? And I just looked at her and said, are you kidding? Are you actually kidding? Yes, this white woman.
Uh-huh.
And she said, no, my son wants to do his hair like that. And I don't know. And I thought, and I just said to her, I'm sure he can figure out how to do that on the internet. I mean, has she been waiting all this time to just find someone on the street to ask this of? Is she that lazy that she can't, you know, go to the library or look it up on the net, which has got to be the easiest thing in the world to do, and just figure it out, you know? So I find it just shocking sometimes, the like utter laziness. I think of people claim they have curiosity, but yet they're not taking the initiative to truly satisfy it, you know?
Sure.
So anyway.
Okay. What do you wish to happen for those of us who attempt to, quote, rent a Negro? Is that a good question to ask, or do you want to lead up to that some way or other about we need to know what the structure of the book is.
Well, the book is written in a satirical structure. So,
yes.
So it's based on your kind of corporate how-to guide. Okay, so.
Okay, it is satire, right?
It's satire.
And it's ironic.
Yes, although everything in the book actually happened to me.
Okay.
So it takes, what it does is it takes all those real events and organizes them in a form that kind of betrays the absurdist nature of our world. Right. Mm-hmm. So when you put all these things together, like, for example, I kind of looked at it as a supply and demand situation. So if everybody's asking me, questions about being Black or asking me to fulfill all their curiosities about being Black, then clearly there's a demand out there. So I created a book that would instruct people on how to make a business out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So the first half is for renters. So for white and, you know, sometimes other people. And the second half is for rentals for Black and sometimes other people. people of various races have told me that this applies to them. And so the first half, it says it takes all those things that have happened to me and puts them into step by step techniques. So, for example, take the story that I just said about the woman coming up to me and asking about my hair. So step one would be, oh, spot a Black person on the street. You know,
yes.
Step two would be walk right up to her and ask her if you can ask her a question, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. And then for the rentals, the steps would be, you know, turn around and hand this woman an invoice for $125.
Yeah.
So that's how it works.
Okay. Let's. Are you trying to educate us? I mean, is it an education for us to read this book? And I also want to outline the structure of the book because there are letters in here that are very important too. I think the letter part of this book is extremely important.
Okay.
But we need to get lead up to that, I guess, don't we?
Yeah.
So is it a kind of education for us, do you think? Is that people taking it that way?
I think that it is. It is a kind of education. And like most of my work, it's holding up a mirror to the audience. So it's the kind of education, I don't think I'm presenting any new information. What I am is representing like you to yourself, right?
Yes, so okay.
Showing people, you know, gosh, what they sound and look like.
Let's face it.
Yeah, let's face it. Right.
Okay. And do you expect people to become kind of self-conscious around you then? Do people?
I think we could all use a healthy dose of paying attention. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, really, how do you sound? Really listen to, you know, how... What are you saying and what kind of impact is that having on people? And pardon me, what does that say about who you are? You know, like, for example, that woman who came up to me on the street, my impression of her was that she was just very lazy and rude. Now, is that the way she wants to come across? Probably not.
No, she thinks she's being friendly.
Right.
And inquisitive.
Right.
And she thinks you're an interesting looking person.
Yes.
And you look approachable.
Yes, that's true.
Do you think she had that all in mind? Or do you think she just barged in with curiosity?
Probably, but at the same time, isn't it funny that we don't really consider reality and people, you know, assume that maybe she assumed that I would be happy to answer her questions. To me, this is part of the legacy of slavery. We still assume that Black people are there to service our needs. Now, the reality was I was very sick and in a lot of pain. I had just come from my doctor. And the last thing I wanted to do was make small talk with someone or educate someone. But that thought probably never crossed her mind.
No, she doesn't know you at all or anything about your personality.
Right. So she just assumed that I was kind of going to be happy to help her.
Yeah. You were on display, as it were.
Or in service.
Yeah.
Right. That's my job for being so strange and different to her. It's my job to explain it to her.
I see. Oh, gosh. Well, what I think I'll do is to read some of the contents.
Okay, great.
Don't you think? And then if you want to, I'll read it and you stop me if you want to, if there's one part of this that you'd like particularly to discuss. But there are the acknowledgments and then the welcome. And then it says, baby, I was born to rent. And that's number 5.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. The section for renters.
For renters. Okay. And then it's getting over that helpless feeling. Know thyself and reasons for renting. Frequently asked questions, FAQ. What is FAQ?
Frequently asked questions.
Oh, FAQ. Okay. Bring It On, Popular Approaches, Tools of the Trade, Renter Resources.
And those are all kind of tear out things that you can use. There's a frequent renter's card and just different things you're going to need. You know, like a, you can stick up a wanted poster if you're looking for black people, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm, okay. You're so articulate, handy terms. Check you out, a checklist for the prospective renter. Let It Rip, easy tear-out tools for renters. And number 6, quickies, impulse renting. 7, Don't Shoot, It's Only a Rental. And under that is a special segment for law enforcement officers. And then there's a headline that says, Do You Want Fries with That Negro? And under that is Sample Rental Applications.
And those are all, and that's my favorite title. Those are all actual applications of people sent into my website.
Oh.
So for people who are curious, people always ask me, what happened with the website? The book contains a whole section of things people actually wrote me. And
yes.
And then also sections of, like you said, the letters, emails people have sent me.
I think that's extremely interesting.
Well, I'll read a couple of those.
Yes. Okay. Not right now.
Did you want to finish the table of contents?
Yeah, I do. We turn the page. So you want to be a rental. Okay. Then you want to getting over that helpless feeling. How can I tell if I'm being rented? A quiz. Frequently asked questions. Walk this way, becoming a successful rental. Tools of the trade, renter resources, playing by the rules, guidelines for your renters, card-carrying authentic African-American, business card, pony up, a sample invoice. And then number 13, white noise, common questions you'll have to answer. 14, sailing through the stress, wellness techniques. 15, cash or check only, charging for your services. Now, this is kind of a difficult kind of thing about charging for your services. It's very hard to get your money, isn't it?
It's not easy.
Afterwards, there are rentals. I remember stories from the field. Through the Looking Glass, the Future of Renting a Negro. And in number 18, Dear Negro, Letters to Rent a Negro.com.
That's pretty funny that you said it's very hard to get your money, because isn't that the problem? Isn't that the legacy that black people have been dealing with in this country forever?
We
just can't get our money for our labor.
That's right.
Yeah. It still goes on.
People still have the feeling that you are working for free.
Yeah.
And at least part of the time you should be working for free.
That's right. It's true. It's a problem.
You don't get time and a half, and overtime you especially don't get.
That's right. And I'm working a couple of jobs here. You know, I'm an artist and then I'm a professional black person, apparently, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I think that, you know, when people say, gosh, slavery is over and I've never done anything like that, there's a modern version, a modern legacy that people still participate in.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate to say it.
May I butt in here to ask you if are you ever afraid? Have you ever been afraid?
No, I think that I've felt cautious, you know, when I've gotten rental requests of people saying they want to invite me to a lynching or a gang rape. One of them came from Estacada. Yeah. That was concerning to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some screwball.
No, I don't.
Was that real?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, they put down a real address and a real phone number. So some of them were screwballs, but that one felt very authentic in a way.
Did it?
Mm.
Uh-huh. You were on the O'Reilly Factor.
Yeah.
That's on Channel 48. And how did that go?
Well,
how was that? How was he to work with? You know what you did? I watched that. It was only for a few minutes.
Yeah, like 5 minutes.
But you unnerved him a little. You kind of tottered him off his perch for a minute.
That's nice to hear.
He got to be a sort of a human being for all but and he wanted to tell you the story of his life.
I know, he's not. People always want to tell me the story of their lives.
Isn't that funny?
I know. He wanted to talk about his grandmother. I know. It was very strange.
And you didn't have enough time, of course, and you were on, just barely on at the last minute.
Yeah, I think because he didn't pick a fight with me, so the interview went real short. We didn't have anything to argue about because I kept just kind of, defraying his attacks.
You were very well. You just acted very, just the way you should.
Yeah, it was.
And very kind of academic.
Yes. Uh-huh. Then he said it was too intellectual for most people. And I said, well, Bill, I think you can get it.
Yeah. Well, that's true. He's very wary of anybody with any intellect because he doesn't have any himself. But I thought it was interesting. How did he find you? I mean,
we sent him a book and a letter.
I see.
Yeah.
So he actually did look at the book.
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah.
And I think he understood the book, actually.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't think he's I think he is a smart person. I think he has to be smart to have the kind of on-point, convoluted arguments. You know, he's always he knows the right argument, so that's why he can counter it with his kind of convolutedness.
You think so?
I do.
Okay. So
it doesn't make him right. It just makes him smart. You know, you can be smart and on the wrong side.
Sure. Well, he's hollow, though, so somehow.
Yeah, I don't know. I get fascinated by people like him, really fascinated.
He has deeper thoughts than you might think.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's hope so.
Well, I think you're very fair. And
thank you.
And I think the brief time you were on, you did magnificently. You looked great.
Thanks.
Yeah.
First time I've worn makeup ever.
Have you? Did they make you? They made you sit still for makeup?
My publicist bought me makeup.
and now, where did you have to go and everything?
I flew to New York. We were there for like 72 hours. We practiced, and they do a pre-interview, actually.
Uh-huh.
And then we were on the show, and
you pre-interview with him, or do you pre-interview with some
with his assistant?
A stand-in.
Yeah, with his assistant on the phone. She was actually tougher than him.
They can be, and they're very protective.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So it was a whirlwind for sure.
They rush you around, don't they?
Yeah.
My God, we only have 5 minutes. I can't believe it. What should we say in 5 minutes? The most important, get some terribly important things. Do you think people treat you differently now that you've written How to Rent a Negro? Are people sort of antsying around?
No, not yet. I think people are kind of used to, at least people here, they're kind of used to it. Mm. I think one of the things that's funny is people start to think they can make jokes, you know, so they start to say, they use the word Negro too much, you know. They start to use that word, and I think, you know, gosh, I didn't write this book to bring that word back into our vernacular, you know.
Uh-huh.
Stop that. Or they make jokes now. People think they're funny, and they're like, whoa, can I touch your hair? And I'm like, that's really not funny.
Not at all. Not at all.
No.
And now, since we only have 5 minutes, what's the most compelling thing? I mean, what do you want to say make a statement about what's in the book again for people?
I think the most compelling thing, I think the most compelling thing about the book is that it has something for everyone. It's broken into sections, and I never read a book from cover to cover. I start in the middle. So you can start in the middle with this book. And
yes, you can.
Yeah, if you want to read the rental applications, read that. You can start with where you're most curious, which is maybe exactly where the book kind of emanates from, other people's curiosity and my curiosity. Mm-hmm. And really, I really encourage people of color to start holding other people accountable for their actions and accountable and in the spirit of capitalism, you know, so really hold white people accountable by offering them a bill and collecting, you know, go ahead and try to collect for your work or stop doing the work.
Okay. I want to tell people that you've been doing, been going out for reparation and
yes.
sitting out on the streets. And do you want to tell us about that? It's not mentioned in the book at all. We only have 2 minutes. Get that in a...
Yeah, I did this piece. It's ongoing where I panhandle for reparations. Yes. And I think actually what I love to say is that I'm headed out on book tour. So tell everybody you know in other cities that I'm coming and to come see me. Go to my website, damaliayo.com.
Very good. Do you want to say that one more time, please?
DamaliAyo.com.
And we have been talking to Damali Ayo this morning, and Damali Ayo has written a very interesting and exciting book, and it is called How to Rent a Negro, and it's going to be available almost anywhere, and if it's not, they should get it.
Yeah, don't complain.
And is there any parting word you'd like to have?
I just love being here with you, Julie, so thanks so much.
I thank you so much for coming, and I'm thanking you for taking my program that time when you sat in for me, because
what a pleasure.
A fabulous success.
Oh, what an honor, Julie. I sat on your phone books.
Well, it's an honor to have you here this morning, and we've laughed a lot, but there's a serious undertone here.
Yes.
And we both appreciate that. Thanks a lot, Damali Ayo.
Thanks, Julie.
Farewell. This is Julie Bernard and Art Focus.
And thank you for tuning in to the Thursday Morning Radio Zine. I think we're going to end up putting that interview on the KBOO website, which we are currently upgrading in preparation for our millionth click celebration. That's KBOO.FM. And we're going to be putting that interview on our website. Thank you for listening to the Thursday Morning Radio Zine. It's 10:59. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for Democracy Now!, and I'm going to try to make that magic work. Thank you.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
The Psychology Code of Ethics applies to all of a psychologist's activities. And when psychologists acting within strict ethical guidelines may participate and support information gathering and interrogation processes.